And now it's time for Ask Roz and Mocha.
Ask Roz and Mocha time. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, Billy.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Doing good. See your name pop up on social a ton. Is this not your first time talking to us on the show, though, right?
First time talking on the show, but I've talked to you guys through social media.
Wow, welcome.
All right. Billy, what's your question?
So my question was around, I guess I was going through the podcast because I don't listen to the live show a lot. And
cool, thanks.
My question was around how close were we?
Yeah.
My question was, how close were you guys to quitting the show? I guess in the sense of when more of the fame was coming in and more of the presence around the world, especially when you guys got a family, and I was listening to some of the stuff that Roz had to go through ET and stuff, mm-hmm. especially when they're questioning his parenting. Did that ever question you guys, whether it be like, you know what, maybe this just isn't for me, especially with the family getting involved, and just thought about stepping back?
So are you talking about just like hearing stories throughout the years on the podcast, or did you listen to the history of Roz and Mocha, the six-part docuseries, and then your question comes from that?
Both. Okay. So I know through the history of Roz and Mocha, you guys went through like legal challenges and stuff there, which you went through. But more so with the family, once you guys got kids, got married, and people getting into your personal lives, did that ever seep into like, wow, I didn't expect it to be this much?
You want to go first, Roz?
It's because it's pretty easy to answer. My thing was, when we started the show, I was doing ET Canada, right? So I would do this show, and then I would leave, and I would go and do another full-time job doing that TV show, and then I would get home sometimes 6:30 at night, and then travel on the weekends and everything else. And I knew physically I would be able to do it, and it was just then a matter of time before one of the companies that I was working for would make me choose. That never actually happened. But I knew very early on when Mocha and I were doing this show that if that day ever came where I did have to make a choice, there was no choice. I would have left ET Canada in a second.
Yeah.
It was never a debate.
I mean, that schedule was like grueling, right?
Yeah. But I mean, if I had to pick one, I would never have walked away from this show to stay with that show, mm-hmm. right? Like, as soon as we sort of hit our stride and I realized that you and I were great, I had made up my mind years before I left ET Canada that it would be this show over that show. But my feeling always was, it was never about working hard. I think that for me, the working hard was only to make sure that my family was good.
Yeah.
And I think that the problem with that, and that other people have gone through who have done the same thing, who make those same decisions, is that I never wanted to work as hard as I was doing to make sure everything was good, and then one day have my kid grow up and feel that she got ripped off mm-hmm. because I was never around.
Yeah.
And I was never around only because I was trying so hard to make sure that she was good, right? And so that was the sort of thing in the back of my head all the time. It was never about the workload or how popular the show got. It was about whether I was making the wrong decision for the right reasons. And so when I eventually left ET Canada, it was the right time to leave. But I had told Catherine 5 years before I left ET Canada, I would tell Catherine, this is the last year.
Yeah.
This is the last year. This is the last year. I promise this is the last year. And then she would hear me in the office on the phone with my lawyer redoing a new contract. Mm-hmm. And so every single year I told her, this is the last, I promise. This is the last, I promise. And then every year I broke that promise.
When you finally told her recently...
Yeah.
That it was going to be your last year, that you were actually going through with it. Did she believe you? Or she was
she did. She did. Because I had just spent 2 years writing the book and I was done. So she did believe me, and we had just come out of COVID and things were different, and it was definitely the right time. Mm-hmm. But I had told her for years before that every single year that when my contract was up, I was like, this is it, I'm done. And then it was just never the case. And I'd go back for another year, another 2 years. I would never sign long contracts. It was always like 1 year and 2 years.
Yeah.
But I stayed way longer than I had promised her that I would. And she never resented me for it, and she was never pissed off. But that was the risk, and that was always the risk.
We've never had at least I don't have conversations at home about leaving this.
No.
You know, I think... The hours, yes, the hours suck for the time that we have to wake up to come in to do the show.
Sure.
But I'm home by like noon, between noon and 1 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
Right. So I can still do school pickup and I can still do like after school stuff with crews and stuff like that. So that conversation has not happened at home, Billy.
Nice. Okay. Perfect.
And if you're wondering if it ever became too much, like if there was ever too much pressure or the expectations were too high and we thought about, you know, hey, maybe it's just not worth it. No, I've never felt that.
No.
I've never felt that we were.
Nor have we ever had discussions about that.
No. Oh, no, we haven't. And I haven't I haven't ever felt overwhelmed with what we've been asked to do. Like, yeah. That's just the reality of it.
The boss can hear this and be like, oh, yeah. Really?
No. I don't mean, no. You listen, I mean what we're asked to do in the sense of what we're asked to deliver.
Sure.
Not what we're asked to do, but what we're asked to deliver.
Because
we always deliver. There's a lot of stuff we're asked to do that I, you know, definitely am not a fan of.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
Yo, Billy, you're the best, man. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening and thanks for your question.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you,
man. Right on, Holmes.
Sally says here, have you ever gone a day without wearing underwear?
A day?
Mm-hmm.
Or on a date?
Day.
Oh, hell yeah. Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. The whole day.
The whole day.
Oh, good for you, bro.
Thank you.
Cheesecake clapping first.
Like quite frequently.
Yeah.
During
the week or just like on the weekends?
I've done during the week before.
Oh, yeah. Like in here and stuff?
In here.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've driven like 2.5 hours not wearing underpants before. I've quite enjoy it.
Cheesecake?
I've definitely not driven without underwear because that's just, imagine you get pulled over, bro.
He's wearing pants.
I'm wearing, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
but,
not,
what do you know.
Mean? What's going to happen? What happens when you get pulled over?
Different reality, man.
No. They're not junk checking you, Shem. Yeah. I understand we live different lives.
Hey, how do you know they ain't junk checking me?
Please.
You wouldn't junk check me?
Maury, you ever go commando?
All the time.
No, you don't. You're such a liar.
No, at home, like if I'm in my pajamas.
No, a full day, like out of the house, living a life.
Yes, I absolutely have, because I've walked the dog with my pajamas on and sweatpants over that.
That doesn't count. You ever gone to the grocery store?
Yes.
You ever,
we're talking from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed.
Like, no, like putting, I'll put sweatpants on over my pajamas.
Okay,
or jeans
over
my pajamas.
No, Maury. That does not count.
But it's not underwear.
No, it still doesn't count. Have you ever gone a day where you like get up in the morning, you put your jeans on, a shirt, your socks, your shoes, you go live a life, do whatever you have to do. Not a day where you're going to be doing pajamas all day and then you put pants on over top of pants.
No, I can't do like life stuff because I'd be too worried.
Okay, then that was the question.
Yeah, just say no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Mocha.
I don't think so.
No?
I always got to wear undies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you never not though?
Maybe I have, but like at least not recently that I could say yes, you know, like last month.
Right.
I did.
But you don't remember a time when you went a full day with no underpants.
I'm sure I
have.
Do
you remember why you didn't wear underpants that day?
No, it's like I just always got to have undies on.
But so you don't, so you remember a time when you did have no underpants on,
sure.
But you don't remember why you didn't put underpants
on.
No.
No.
Was it an accident?
No.
No? Okay. Just checking.
It's just like with socks. I always wear socks.
Yeah, that's right. You do always
wear
socks.
I'm always wearing socks.
Yeah.
I love socks.
Yeah. Maria, you feel comfortable answering this question?
No.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Victoria says here, first time asking a question, and I hope it gets answered on the show. What are some of the most rewarding aspects of being a radio host for all of you? Cheers and love listening to you every day. You're such a huge part of my life. So thank you very much for that question. Victoria, who wants to take the answer first?
Let's start with you and I'll go last, if at all. Damn it, Maury, you've been on the show the longest, aside from Moke and I.
I mean, you get to do super cool things like red carpets and talking to celebrities and being heard. I think that's kind of cool and rewarding.
Being heard, like on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a weird way of saying that. Shem, you were next?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, it's the connection with the fans, man. Like, I was just out this weekend at the Kevin Hart show and a bunch of fans yelled out cheesecake, not even Shem, just cheesecake.
It's working, guys.
But it works, though, right? And just seeing how fans get so excited to like see you. It's almost like weird for me, even though I've been on the show for nearly 10 years. It's still a weird thing for me. Yeah. But that's easily the most rewarding part.
I'll agree with Shem on the fans, because I was signing copies of Roz's book at the Film Fest.
I saw that. What the hell are you doing signing my book at the Film Festival?
Hey, if people ask, I'll
but
sign
like,
it.
Was somebody just walking around with my book, or did they see you there and then went and got the book?
No, he had your book in his bag.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if it's because they thought that I was going to be out doing stuff at TIFF.
Oh, maybe.
Perhaps, I think
because that's happened before.
Or maybe they just had it, like they're currently reading it.
Yeah, that's right? That too. Maria, you're new to all of this?
Yes. For me, I think the biggest compliment I've gotten is that I'm very relatable. And I think for me is that, like, I like to know that there's someone that people are listening to that they can relate to and resonate with and just tell stories and just be a normal human being.
What was the question again?
What are some of the most rewarding aspects of being a radio host?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So Maria's is being awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
No, Roz, go ahead. Because, you know, sometimes you can't relate to certain people on the radio.
Being loved.
No, you guys took that in the wrong way.
Roz, go ahead.
Oh, damn it.
The most rewarding aspects?
Yeah.
I mean, just realistically, getting to laugh every single day. That's probably the most rewarding part of the job, is that we provide a service for people as a distraction and, hopefully helping them out at one of the worst parts of their day. And the trade-off is that we get to have the best time. And it's a ton of work, but laughing. And we go to work every single day and we laugh with people that make us laugh. And that is such an incredibly rare thing. It is so, these jobs do not exist in the world. And we have them. And so laughing just, you know, for a living is the greatest thing in the world. It's the best part of the job.
Yeah, I think, you know, having the freedom, we've built up enough trust that we have the creative freedom to kind of come in and do our thing, right? Do our comedy, because we know what works and what doesn't work. And
no, it's true.
We've got like a great relationship with the fans. And that's the other aspect of it all, is that I love the friendship, the relationship that we've built with so many people over the years, and make people feel comfortable enough that they could call in or text in, whether they've been listening for the full 15 years or maybe they just started listening, you know, a month ago, because we hear from everyone in between and they just feel like they really know us, that they feel comfortable not only reaching out but opening up to us in the way that they do.
Also, people love me.
Mike says here, if you had to choose,
I'm adored,
between only fruits,
I give up,
or only vegetables, what would you pick? You have to choose. Only fruits or only vegetables? I'm saying fruits.
Vegetables.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No way, dude. I'm more fruits than veggies.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Like what, though?
It's just, I love all fruits, man.
Berries, huh?
I love. Oranges, I love. Apples, I love. Mango, banana, like, man, every fruit.
Really,
I'm
huh?
down with more fruits than I am with
see, I gotta do vegetables.
And
I
know you could cook. Obviously, that changes the way you cook.
Yeah.
Right? Or what you order when you're at a restaurant or whatever, but I'm still picking fruits, man.
Maria, very diet conscious. I know you're training for a half marathon. Mm-hmm. Fruits or veg?
This is tough because I feel like, can you put things on the vegetables? Like, are we talking you can only eat them as they are?
No. You just have to eliminate one category from your life.
I'd go fruits.
You're eliminating fruits or you're keeping
fruits?
Yeah,
but eliminating fruits and 100%. Keep vegetables. Because vegetables, you can, like, you can get more from them and do more with them versus fruits.
100%.
And fruits are also like, if you're eating bananas every day, like a lot of them use high sugar.
Like, I love Brussels sprouts.
Me
and,
too.
You know, even fruits, even vegetables, I don't really like. I'll eat green beans before I'll eat an apple.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I love fruits too much, man.
And also potatoes. A potato a vegetable?
Yeah. Potato is a vegetable.
First of all, potato is the greatest food in the world.
Oh, I can't have fries, that I can't have chips.
It's mash, it's French fries, it's chips, and it's vodka.
Okay. F*** the fruits. I'm taking veg all day.
Wow, okay.
Damn it, Maury.
I am struggling with this one because I love strawberries and blueberries. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to eliminate vegetables.
You are.
But what about your celery diet?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still can have like an apple. I love fruit so much.
You do, huh?
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
Like, I'll stand in front of the fridge with the fridge door open and just eat blueberries right out of the pint.
Wow. Shem, do you eat vegetables?
I was going to say, do I look like I eat either?
I don't think you do. Do you?
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, you don't eat either, right?
No, I love fruits. Yeah,
you do.
I'm a nectarines and mango guy.
Oh, okay,
for
cool.
Sure.
Anything else?
No, come on now.
No.
Okay. As I said, look, on top of strawberries on top of a cheesecake, delicious.
You're a fan. All right, Grace says here, how do you guys organize or group your books at home? Alphabetically, height, /size, or by color?
I don't have any books at home.
You have a whole library at home.
No, I think out of everyone on this show, maybe
Maury
has the most amount of books at home.
Yeah, we have a library at home. We just built a whole thing.
How do you buy books? You don't read them all.
Well, because we are trying to collect as many Marilyn Monroe books and as many Andy Warhol books as we can.
Right.
And Matthew has them organized by color.
Yeah, he's one of those, huh?
Yeah.
That was so popular about 20 years ago.
It looks good.
I think if I were to organize, I mean, same thing. We don't have books at home. I mean, there are books.
Yeah.
Like cookbooks and stuff like that. But if I were to organize, it would go probably by size. Aesthetically, it looks
right.
Better.
My house is full of books. Uh-huh. Like Catherine has a ton of books. We have a pyramid of books on the corner of our coffee table.
Really?
Like, and on the end tables. Like, we have books literally everywhere in the house. Just none of them are mine.
Uh-huh. Right? Are they organized or they're just like there?
No. I think that when she needs to put books in a place, like if it's the stack of books on the side end table, I think that they're all just roughly the same size, but it's the same size because they don't fit on a certain shelf.
Sure.
Right? Like, so there's no sort of real organization to it. There's nothing aesthetic about it.
Yeah.
But no. None of them are mine. Do you have a lot of books in your place, Maria?
No. Okay. I don't read.
Okay.
But my mom does, but like she keeps her books like in her room, but there's no bookshelf. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
It takes me forever
to
read
like
a book.
Was it like the 50 Shades series?
No. Oh. She reads a whole bunch. She read yours. Yeah. She read your book. Recently, and she was reading
Does
another
she read
one.
Fiction? Does she do like the romances and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, she reads those ones too.
Yeah. My mom was always big into those books. The Danielle Steeles.
Yeah.
Right?
With like the muscly guy on the front riding horse.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember because every year, this Danielle Steele woman, she would crank out a new book a year. And
they're always home runs?
It was always on my mom's Christmas list,
really?
Right? Like, yeah, it was just always, she just needed a new Danielle Steele book.
And would she take her time with the book or would she like try to
plow through it, yeah. So titles like Only the Brave, Joy, Resurrection, a Novel, Never Too Late. Zoya was a big one.
Zoya?
Zoya, uh-huh. Yeah. But Danielle Steele has written, hold on here. She's written, when I say a lot of books, Danielle Steele, this is my mom's old favorite author, 190 books.
Wow.
She has sold 800 million copies around the world.
Wow. Not bad.
800 million copies around the world. Yeah. Yeah. Cranking them out.
Brett says, here, has the team met the families of each other's, as in spouses, partners, kids, stuff like that? I would say, at least for me, yes. I've met your ma, Roz, and of course your family.
Yeah.
For Damon Moore, I've met both your brothers and, you know, your dad, Frank, and stepmom.
You met the whole family.
Yeah. Met the whole family. Shem, Cheesecake, I've met both of your parents and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria, I've met only your mom because she came with us to Jamaica last year.
I met Maria's sister.
He met my sister. Yeah, both.
Both.
Just the one.
Was it just
one?
Were
they both there? No, they were both there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I met both Maria's sisters.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And your mom. Have we met your dad yet?
No. You guys have not.
We have not met your dad yet.
Roz was surprised of how tall I am compared to my sister.
Yeah, because that's like normally when you see three sisters, they're all relatively the same height. But you're much taller.
Way taller.
Yeah. What happened there?
I don't know.
Do they ever say what happened?
No, but they got lucky.
Why? They got lucky.
Because they're short with like their curves. I just look like a stick man.
Oh.
All them veggies, Maria. They chose to eat.
Yeah, see?
I'm just tall and lanky.
Who else? Has anyone not met someone?
I haven't met
I haven't met Shem's anybody. Yeah, I haven't met Shem's mom.
Oh, okay.
Parents.
I've met Shem's parents. I've met Roz's mom. I met most of Roz's family. I met Mocha's parents.
My sisters? My sisters have been here.
I met your
before.
Sisters. Yeah. I've met Maria's mom. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I was about to say, and I've met my family.
Yes, you have.
Yes, multiple times.
Yeah, not your mom, though.
You know I have.
Oh, I'm just joking. Right. I'm joking. You did, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we had a coffee at an airport.
At the Calgary airport.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Damn. Yo, cheesecake on the floor. Yo, breathe.
Emotional.
Okay, Edward says here, we're going to end on Edward's question here. As far as injuries go, would you rather have a cut or a bruise, assuming it would take a week to heal?
Oh,
a bruise.
Yeah.
I'm covered in bruises on a daily basis. Yeah. So
I would rather have a bruise because if we're talking, if he didn't say assuming it would take a week, you know, a cut could be like.
Okay. A cut on your hand or a bruise on your face?
Bruise on my face. Wait, how bad is the cut on my hand? And is it going to take a week to heal?
It's going
to
take a full week to heal.
Which hand?
Mm-hmm. Your left.
Why does that matter?
Because I'm left-handed. That's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, weird.
No, but like to write and stuff, right? Yeah. Use utensils?
Yeah.
Yeah, but every time you poke a bruise, it hurts.
Why are you poking bruises?
I don't know. Like if you bump in it, like if you,
what are you bumping?
Touch something.
What are you
or,
bumping? What are you poking and bumping on?
But
all
if
day?
It's on your face, if you wash your face.
Why are you poking and bumping things on your face?
Yeah, that's not a flex, Mark. let me see. Do I want a cut or do I want a bruise? I'm still picking a bruise.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, what if, let me put it this way, okay? Would you rather, would you rather have a cut right in between these two fingers?
Your index and your middle, yeah.
Yeah, your index and your middle, like a deep paper cut right in the middle between your index and your thing.
Or
two black eyes.
Oh, the cut.
Or two black eyes?
Or two black eyes.
Then I have to come up with a story as to how I got the black eyes.
Right.
So I'm going to say the cut.
Right.
You?
Yeah, you're free. I mean, I'm just, listen, man, you're going to go out in the world and you're just going to look like the husband that told his wife that, no, she's just a friend from work.
Yeah, no, I'm still thinking the cut.
You know
what I mean? Because you got to come up with a story. You have to come up with a believable story.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
You still need a story for the cut, too.
Not really.
I'm not going to ask how you cut yourself in between your, like, why? That's none of my business.
The webbing of your hand.
Yeah.
You don't really notice that.
I'm gonna take the cut.
Yeah. There you go. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for loading up the comment section on Instagram. Keep an eye out at Kiss925. This is where we get the questions from, and you'll also be chosen. Someone will be chosen to ask a question to the room on the phone. This has been episode 976 of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss925.
Kiss925.com
or download the Kiss925 app.